it's that time again, and the doctor is in. Yeah, this is Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. And all's right with the world because you're out there listening. And I'm here with a microphone. There you go. I mean, what else do we need to do, right? We need to talk about tech things. What's happening in the tech world? Because Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon, as you may well know, is part of the Tech Podcast Network.
This is the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here.
If it's tech, it's here. That's right. You know where to go to get your tech fix for the week. And speaking of getting a tech fix, let's promote. You know, we like to cross-promote one another's podcast on the Tech Podcast Network. And I have played this promo before, but somehow, since I'm doing this early in the morning on a Saturday, you know, the sun is coming up and the birds are singing and so forth, I think it's appropriate to play Paul Muller's Caffeination podcast promo. Caffeination, all about coffee, all about tech. You know, us techies, we love our coffee. So let's listen to Paul's promo.
Hi, I'm Paul Muller, the host of the Caffeination. If you're like me and you need that extra shot in the arm in the morning, you need to come on over to the Caffeination. We're a twice-weekly podcast. We cover all the best in tech news. We cover coffee. We cover caffeine. I try all the products so that you don't have to. So head on over to the Caffeination at caffeination.com. That's caffeination.com. Thanks and stay caffeinated, people.
There you go. Stay caffeinated with Paul Muller over at the Caffeination Podcast. One of the many proud members of the Tech Podcast Network. And, of course, here you are listening to Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. And, of course, as you know, a curmudgeon is a crusty, irascible, cantankerous old person full of stubborn ideas about tech. See, that would be the computer curmudgeon as opposed to just a curmudgeon that you find on the street, you know, grumbling and griping about something else. I grumble and gripe about computers because I'm the computer curmudgeon. Okay, you got it. All right. Let's talk about what's going on. Last week was the 52nd podcast. That means this week is the 53rd podcast. Isn't it amazing how that works? It's a math thing. 53rd podcast. Dude, that means one podcast past the point of the first year of podcasting. That means we've entered into our second year of podcasting. Okay, enough math. It's beginning to cloud my thinking. All right, the reason I bring it up is not just because I need to let you know that today is September the 9th, 2006, and this is the 53rd podcast of Dr. Bill the Computer Curmudgeon, but also because we're having a contest to celebrate our first year of podcasting, and some of you have already entered the contest. Good for you, dudes and dudettes. We've got dudettes that listen as well as dudes, so we got to include both. We're very inclusive here on Dr. Bill, the Computer Curmudgeon. So, you need to enter our contest. How do you do that? First of all, you got to go to the website, thecomputercurmudgeon.com. That's thecomputercurmudgeon.com. Yes, after doing it for 1 year, I can do it very quickly. It's one of those practice things, you know what I mean? Anyway, thecomputercurmudgeon.com, go there, and over on the right-hand column, at the very top of the right-hand column, not the very tip-top, because at the very tip-top, it says a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network, but if you go down below that, and below the search line, there's another line there that says, click here to enter our contest. Now, what do you think that means you need to do to enter the contest? I'll wait a moment. Yes, you got it. Click here. Very good. Click there, and you will go to a form that you can fill out with your information and register to win. Are you ready? Drum roll. Drum roll, please. It's a 512 meg thumb drive. How geeky is that? I know you love it. And you could put all kinds of stuff on it. You could put MP3s. You could put programs. You could put, reports that you would write for school. I don't know what you want to put on it, but it's going to be a nice blank 512 meg memory stick thumb drive doohickey that plugs into your USB port, and you can transfer files, and life will be good. So, You want to win that. Come on. Hey, it's free. I'll ship it. I'll mail it anywhere in the world. Now, off-world, that's a problem. I don't have a way to do that. I don't have a starship. I don't have a transporter. What are you going to do? But anywhere on the planet, I will send it if you will enter the contest. And now, here's the thing. Only one person will win. However many entries we get, we're going to randomly select one, and that one person will get the memory stick. I don't have enough memory sticks for everybody, okay? Now, if I had the budget, hey, dude, I would send you a memory stick, okay? But if you enter the contest, one person will win. I guarantee it. You know, there's this Cajun chef guy in New Orleans. He talks about guarantee. Anyway, never mind. Strange reference. But let's move on. Here's the tech news of the week, starting with our last edition of Dr. Bill, the Computer Curmudgeon, the podcast. Dr. Bill tried to get in the groove. Last week, I was not in the groove. This week, I feel the groove. Yes, indeed. I'm sliding down through the groove. So I think I'm okay now. Last week, I was not. Because for one reason, I did an entire podcast and didn't save it. That will get you irritated to do a 30-minute podcast and not save it correctly and have it go, and it's gone. And then I had to do it over again. And that time, I actually think I was closer to the groove, but I wasn't quite there. This week, I feel the groove. So we're good. Okay. First item after the podcast is that there are now additions to the Merriam-Webster Collegiate Dictionary 11th edition for 2006. New words. Do you know they put new words in the dictionary every year? Dude, English is just such an amazing language. It's constantly expanding and growing and increasing in breadth and depth and knowledge. And of course, English is getting weird because it's including techie things. So, what was added this year to the dictionary? Are you ready? In the field of technology and computers, the winners are mouse potato. Okay, mouse potato. I think we know who that is. That's the people that sit around all day long with the mouse in hand and don't go out and get fresh air and sunshine, but rather sit in front of the computer and do podcasts all day. Mouse potatoes. I am not going to go there because it's too close to home. Actually, I do get out occasionally and get sunshine. And when you get in the sunshine, you get vitamin D, and it's good for you. And you'll get a little tan. You know, don't get too much now. That would be a burn. But I go swimming, and I do things. I really do. Actually do, other than computers. But unfortunately, I guess most of the time I am technically a mashed potato. Okay, that's the first one. Next technology and computers entry in the dictionary this year is ringtone. Ringtone. Now, there's a word. It's kind of a boring word as far as I'm concerned. I don't think ringtone is all that great in addition to the dictionary, but okay, you know, I'll go along. Next item, spyware. We're familiar with that here on Dr. Bill, the Computer Convention. We want to get rid of that spyware, adware, and all of those other badwares. See, all of those words could have been added, not just spyware, but they added spyware. Oh, well. All right, other areas. Science and medicine, avian influenza. That's the fancy way of saying bird flu. That was added this year. Biodiesel. You know, I'd have thought biodiesel would already been in there, but apparently it wasn't. Gastric bypass. Dude, why wasn't that in there already? There's people been having gastric bypasses before this year. Oh, well. Pop culture words, soul patch. Zing! Right over my head. I have no idea what that is. Perhaps you can write me and tell Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon, what soul patch is. It sounds like something that you put on your soul to patch it. Maybe that's what it is. I don't know. You'll have to tell me. Supersize. That I got. I know what a supersize is. Supersize is when you go to a place that already gives you way too many french fries and they give you even more. More than you could ever possibly need. And that's supersizing it, and that's why people are getting supersized. That's a little too close to home, too. Let's move on. Entertainment leisure. Label mate. I have no idea. Ollie is the next one. Ollie? I mean, is that like, you know, what? I know Oliver North is called Ollie. Is that some reference to him? I don't know. Anyway, that's one. Wave pool. Wave pool? I mean, we've had wave pools for years. I don't understand why that got added this year, too. But anyway, the human condition, drama queen. Now, see, hey, I know what a drama queen is. Yes, indeed. Unibrow was added this year. You ever see anybody with a unibrow? You know, you have to kind of shave between the two. Never mind. International, manga. Hey, my son Ben is very into manga. I know what it is. It's one of those words that was added to the dictionary this year that I actually know what it is because he let me know what it is. And it's basically Japanese cartoony art that's done in a little book that's actually the last one I saw. You read it from the back to the front. It was read in the wrong direction. It's kind of weird. And sometimes it's black and white instead of color. Which seems to me that they're just being cheap and not using color ink. But, hey, it's one of those things. Okay, so that's manga. And the next one is Qui-Gon. Now, I know Qui-Gon Jinn from Star Wars, but I have no idea what Qui-Gong actually is. I guess I'm just not internationally oriented enough. All right, in business and industry, agritourism. That's where you go see farms for fun. I have no idea. Maybe that is what you really do. I don't know. Big box. A big box is, and it's got a little hyphen in the middle. Big hyphen box. And apparently that's a box that's bigger than the box beside it, so it's a big box. I have no idea. What does that mean? In the area of nature, aquascape. That's like a landscape except it's water, which seems to me that that's what the ocean is. So, aquascape. There you go. Kukwai. Sounds like a tea, doesn't it, that you would drink. I don't know what that is. Miscellaneous category, polyamory. Mm-hmm. Sounds vaguely naughty, doesn't it? I don't know. Sandwich generation. Sandwich generation. They added that to the dictionary. These guys were somewhat bored. This was the bicentennial anniversary of America's first dictionary, Noah Webster's A Compendious Dictionary of the English Language. And they have online words that were new in 1806, so you can actually click on the link there in my blog, and you will find the new words that they had in 1806. 200 years of adding words to the dictionary. The ones that interested me most were mouse potato and spyware, that they added that to the dictionary. Doggone cool. Okay, I can tell from your attitude that I'm boring you, so I'm moving on now. We're going to stay right in that groove and keep moving. Okay, next item, Dr. Bill's podcast are now part of Blueberry. Now, that's spelled B-L-U-B-R-R-Y. It's one of those weird internet ways of spelling things. You know, basically what it is that all the good domain names are taken. And so they're misspelling things so they can have domain names. So when they came up with Blueberry, it was because nobody had registered blubrry.com. Well, they have now, and it's called Blueberry. And you might say, well, Dr. Bill, why are you now a member of Blueberry? Are you into fruit? Well, I like apples, okay, and bananas, they're okay, too. I'm not really big on blueberries. But no, that's not why. It's so exciting. What is exciting about Blueberry is it is a community of podcasters. It's where all the podcasters go to hang out and, you know, oh, I don't know, grab a Diet Pepsi or something. You know, I don't drink the hard stuff, so I just do the Diet Pepsi, dude. That's enough for me. All right. Anyway, here's the thing. Podcasters go to Blueberry, and they're part of a community, and they say hi to each other, and we're all very friendly, and it's a good place to go if you want to find podcasts. There's podcasts there on anything you might imagine. Okay? So, I'm now listed in Blueberry, and they have all kinds of cool things you can do, like put headers in there and pictures and things like that, and it looks pretty cool. So, go to Blueberry, and you'll find that I'm listed. As a matter of fact, all my podcasts are what? You didn't know that I did more than one podcast? Ha! you should understand that Dr. Bill doesn't have a life. He just does computer stuff. So, of course, I have lots of podcasts. I have the Spirit of Faith podcast, which is a Christian podcast. I have the Traditional Naturopath podcast, where I talk about natural health and all those good things. And then I have, yes, you guessed it, Dr. Bill, the Computer Curmudgeon, where we go crazy and talk about technology and computers for at least, 30 minutes or so. So that means that during the week, at some point, I have to record 3 30-minute podcasts. Takes a lot of time, but it's a lot of fun. And there's a whole lot of the people that do it. I mean, hey, I'm not as bad as Leo Laporte, okay? Leo does like 25 podcasts a week. Dude, I mean, and his podcasts aren't 30 minutes long. He's got like, you know, Twit is like sometimes an hour long or longer. So, hey, he's got less of a life than me, so don't worry about it, all right? Okay. So, go to blueberry.com, and you will find out that they are an outreach of fresh organic media. They're just kind of all very cool there, aren't they? And they want to, now this is what they say, I'm going to quote from them. In time with our mission, we felt that nothing says celebrate the fruits of your labor with the people who make your show sweet than blueberry. It's not blueberry, but a crisp, refreshing podcaster and listener community called Blueberry, where there is no E in fruit and no I in our philosophy. Okay, they're a weird bunch over there, all right? A little over the bend, all right? You know what I mean? But it's a cool listing of podcasts, so that's why I wanted to include it. Now, here's another thing, of course, that you're expecting because it is Dr. Bill, the Computer Curmudgeon. You're looking forward to it. I know you're there. You're practically salivating, waiting for the Geek Software of the Week. Ta-da! Geek Software of the Week this week is the GIMP for Windows. Now, there's also the GIMP for Linux and the GIMP for the Macintosh, and it's still basically the same GIMP, but this is the GIMP for Windows that we're talking about this week. Now, you might say, what, Dr. Bill, is the GIMP? I am familiar with the fact that someone that walks with a limp might be called GIMP, okay? No. That's not what we're talking about. GIMP is G-I-M-P. It stands for New, as in G-N-U, New, Image Manipulation Program. It is a free program that allows you to draw on your computer, color in things on your computer, and basically have fun like you used to with crayons as a kid, except on your computer. Okay? You can also take photographs, and you can, you know, like put little horns on people and blacken their eye. Not that you'd ever do that. I know you wouldn't do that. But anyway, you could take red eye out. You know, they got this little tool that you can take the red eye. Very cool stuff, all right? Here's the thing. The thing is, a lot of people are familiar with Adobe Photoshop. I can't even pronounce it. It's so expensive. Adobe Photoshop. Dude, this thing cost $1,000. Software that cost $1,000. Give me a break. You know Dr. Bill. He likes free and open source software. Yes, indeed. Where you don't have to pay anything. And that's what this is. It's absolutely free. It is an image manipulation program that's free. Wow, dude. And it's actually very powerful, very cool program. Now, some people complain that the interface isn't quite as friendly as Photoshop. And if that's you, if you're a Photoshop kind of a guy or gal, you need to be aware that there is a hack of the GIMP by Scott Mochella called GIMP Shop. Get it? Photoshop? GIMP Shop? Yeah, you got it. Okay. GIMP Shop takes the GIMP interface and hacks it. Twists it, manipulates it, and twists it into something that looks like Photoshop. And all the little thingies that you get from your drop-down menus and so forth are Photoshop-y. Okay? And so if you're familiar with Photoshop, you can use GIMP Shop because it is very, very similar. But if you're more of a true geek, and you want to get into the true geeky spirit of the GIMP, then you'll use the weird, crazy Unix-y interface that came with it originally. There you go. So, that's the GIMP for Windows. Now, I appreciate someone who wrote me and said, hey, Dr. Bill, why haven't you featured the GIMP? I appreciate that, Joe. That really helps because you reminded me that I haven't featured it yet. I use it so much all the time, I didn't even think about it. I mean, it's just a basic staple of my computer that I have the GIMP. So, and I use it for all my my photo editing because I'm not going to pay $1,000 for Photoshop. Dude. Anyway, so there you go. Geek Software of the Week, the GIMP for Windows. How are we doing on time? Oh, we got a few more minutes. Let's keep going, shall we? Next item, speed up Windows boot time by tweaking the Windows prefetch cache. Dude, how geeky can you get? Now, this is seriously geeky stuff, okay? This is not for the faint of heart. This is not for those who are thinking to themselves, you know, I don't know much about Windows. I think I'll just go in and hack my registry. Wrong. You don't want to do that. But if you're a true geek, if you hack your registry on a regular basis, this is for you. Why, you ask? Because you can speed up your Windows boot time. How many people want their computer to boot faster? How many people start your computer and then you sit back and you go, you stupid machine, get up, I tell you. And they just watch it slowly, gradually come up. And if they don't go to sleep, finally it comes up. Well, my computer is highly optimized, very powerful, lots of memory, all those good things, but it still took almost a full minute to come from a dead stop up to ready to use. Then I did this registry hack. And now it's down to 30 seconds. 50% faster for those of you who aren't good with math. So here you go. How do you speed up your Windows boot time? You tweak the Windows prefetch cache. Now, in order to understand what's happening here, you have to understand what a prefetch cache is. You see, Windows, when it starts, says, ooh, there's something starting over there. I think I'll get that little piece of information, and I'll write it into this directory as a prefetch file that lets me know that I need to load that the next time that I boot. Well, that's all well and good. And you think to yourself, you know, that's a good idea. Windows is pretty smart because it knows that it needs to load that the next time. But what if every time you open that application, it wrote something in the prefetch cache that said the next time you open, why don't you load a part of this program? Well, dude, you're using all these different pieces of software. You don't use them all the same time when you boot every single time. So it isn't really efficient to load pieces of every program that you've ever used your entire life. And so over time, the prefetch cache gets filled up with all these little files. And before you know it, Windows is taking forever to boot because it's loading stuff that you probably aren't going to use anyway. I mean, how often do you use TurboTax, you know? Once a year, dude. So why do you need to load TurboTax in the prefetch cache, I ask you? Okay, if it's nearing April 15th, maybe you do. But the rest of the year, you don't. Okay? So what you do, here's the trick. You navigate to C, Windows Prefetch. That's a subdirectory of the Windows directory, Prefetch. Now, here's the thing. There's a bunch of files in there. You want to delete all of those files. Oh, I know that really can be traumatic for a lot of people. What if I delete something that I really need? Don't worry. If you deleted everything out of the Windows directory, dude, you'd be in trouble. That would be bad, okay? Basically, bad. Don't delete everything out of the Windows directory. Listen to your doctor very closely. Do not delete everything out of the Windows directory. But there is a subdirectory called prefetch. Delete everything out of that directory. Okay, you with me? Not Windows, but prefetch. And remember my disclaimer. Do this at your own risk. I ain't responsible. Really. That's what it says right there on the blog. It says, I ain't responsible. And it says ain't, and I even spelled it correctly. Yeah. Okay. Now, next step, reboot your system. The reboot will be very, very slow. Why? Because it's beginning to load and build back into the system's prefetch cache again. And it will populate that directory with files that you really do need because it's files to start your computer. You with me? Okay. So now you've rebooted. Now it's rebuilt the prefetch cache. Now we go in and we hack the Windows registry. And I know that is not for the faint of heart. If you've never hacked your Windows registry before, don't start now and blame Dr. Bill. Okay? If you do, I will refer you to the disclaimer. Do this at your own risk. I ain't responsible. Really. Okay? Keep that in mind. All right, but if you are familiar with hacking your registry, start up RegEdit, go to HKEY Local Machine System, Current Control Set, Control Session Manager, Memory Manager, Prefetch Parameters, and look for the value Enable Prefetcher. You're saying, dude, you just crossed over the line, and I have no idea what you're talking about. If that's the case, you don't want to do this because you don't know anything about hacking your registry, and that would be bad. Okay, but if you said, oh, dude, hey, I've been to HKEY Local Machine System Current Control Set before, not a problem, then follow along with the doctor. Next thing you need to do is find that key with a value of Enable Prefetcher, and it has four possible values. Zero, remember this is a computer, it starts at zero. Zero, one, two, three, because zero is a significant digit to a computer. Computers are binary, zero and one, one and zero, one and zero, zero and one, zero, one, zero, one, zero, one. That's the only two numbers it actually knows is zeros and ones. It makes combinations of those zeros and ones to get all the other numbers. Isn't that weird? I think it's weird. Anyway, moving on, four possible values, zero, one, two, and three. Zero is disabling the prefetch cache. That would be bad because with no prefetch cache, it's going to load everything the first time when it boots every single time. Not good. Number one, application. The prefetch only caches applications. So it would cache Word, but it wouldn't cache the operating system. That would be bad. Number two, boot. The prefetch only caches boot system files. This is good. This is what you want is two. Because you want it to cache the boot files. You don't want it to cache Word, Excel, PowerPoint, Outlook, all that other Microsofty junk that you don't need in the first place anyway. Not going to cache those, just the system files. And then three, all, the prefetch caches boot and application files. And that's what you'll find it is currently set to is three because Microsoft just wants to load everything every single time, and that's why your system gets slower and slower and slower and slower. So what you want to do is you want to change the 3 to a 2. You want it to only cache the things that are boot things. Okay? You can crank up the other stuff later after the system's up. Remember, our goal in doing this hack is to get your system to boot quicker. Then you can deal with the fact that you got to load everything later on. Okay? So there you go. There's the hint. Try it. You'll like it. It'll boot faster. Life will be good. And moving on to the next item. How are we doing on time? Oh, boy. We're going to have to really get going here because I'm just about out of time. Net neutrality gets religious. You've heard me talk about net neutrality before. How there are forces at work, evil forces at work, trying to take away our internet. They're trying to make the internet this big, huge thing that you have to pay big money to get on, as opposed to the free, global, everyone's equal internet. Which, of course, I prefer, because I'm this little itty-bitty guy with, you know, four web servers, you know, that are my personal servers that I share stuff out to, and I'm not a big guy with lots and huge amounts of money. But I stand on an equal footing with Google and Yahoo and CNN and all the other big websites that are on the net because of net neutrality. Everything's one big playing field. So you can get to my website just as easily as you can get to their website. And that is good. Okay, that's a good thing. That's the way I like it. But the evil bad guys out there are trying to make a superior form of the internet that's going to be fast and cool, and all the big boys are going to be on because they've got big money. And then they're going to have this backwash internet that's going to be slow and buggy, and all us little guys are going to have to stay there, and people won't be able to find us, and it'll be bad. Okay? That's what they're trying to do. And the forces of good, like me, are saying that the net should remain neutral. Net neutrality. Okay? Now, here's where it gets embarrassing. Here's what's embarrassing. The good guys, from my point of view, are those who believe in net neutrality. The bad guys, the corporate bigwig ugly dudes that are out there, the big ugly dudes in the corporate world, that are out there trying to make this pay-for-play internet, they're the bad guys. Okay? So you would think that the religious right type dudes would be on the side of the good guys. This week, they went to the dark side. So, here's the thing. I think they're wrong. Now, most people consider me a card-carrying member of the religious right. I don't know why. Just one of those things, I guess. But I have friends who say, you're a card-carrying member of the religious right. And I pull out my wallet and I say, no, actually, I don't have a card. Nope, it's not there. However, I understand where you're coming from. Okay. Now, here's the thing. I'm embarrassed that these guys have come out against net neutrality. Because, you see, to me, if you're going to preach the gospel to the whole world, you got to be able to reach the whole world. And if you're going to reach the whole world, you got to be able to do it across the internet, because that's how you reach the whole world these days. And so everybody should be for a neutral internet that everybody can get on all at the same time. Okay? That just makes sense to me. But not to these guys. These guys are the Institute of Religion and Democracy, Faith to Action, and a bunch of other people got together and sent an open letter to the Senate Commerce Committee. You remember the Senate Commerce Committee, don't you? That's chaired by Ted Stevens. You remember Ted Stevens? Good old Ted Stevens. You don't remember Ted Stevens? Dude, let me remind you who Ted Stevens is. Yes, indeed. Now you maybe remember.
The Internet.
He's so articulate.
It's not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck. It's a series of tubes.
Yes, indeed, it's that senator who is the chairman of the Senate Commerce Committee who said that the internet is not a big truck. It is a series of tubes. He's so smart. Anyway, he's the guy that they sent the letter to and said, we are against net neutrality. I'm really embarrassed about these guys doing that, okay? All right, I am just about out of time. One last thing I got to tell you. Yesterday was September the 8th. What's so special, you may ask, about September the 8th? 090806? I'll let you think about it. What's special? I know a lot of people are talking about the anniversary of September 11th. Of course, that's very important and very sad, the fifth anniversary of the trade towers being destroyed and so forth. That's not what we're talking about. That's the 11th. This is the 8th. What is important, think with me, September the 8th of 2006. Of course, you got it right. It's the 40th anniversary of Star Trek. Dude, 40 years of Star Trek. Now, I happen to be 50 years old. That means that when Star Trek went on the air, I was 10 years old. And let me tell you, as a 10-year-old, whoa, I was ready for Star Trek. I was at my television with my mouth hanging open and saliva dripping from one corner, waiting for Star Trek to come on. And I've been with it ever since. So, live long and prosper, Star Trek. I salute you with, of course, the Vulcan salute, which I have on the website. I have Mr. Spock there with the Vulcan salute. And if you can tell me what episode that picture is from, then you're a trucker. I look at it closely. There it is. You see the red sky behind him? Uh-huh. You see the little thing there behind his hand? Uh-huh. You're getting warmer. I can tell. You're beginning to figure out which one it is. Are you ready? The episode is Amok Time. It's where Spock went into Ponfar. You with me? Okay. And he actually had to kill Captain Kirk. I'm talking dead, dude. He was dead. Except that McCoy actually shot him with a hypospray and made them think he was dead. And so that brought Spock out of, you know, go watch the episode, all right? Anyway, that's where it's from. Those of you that knew that, you can give yourself a cookie. Okay. So, live long and prosper. Peace and long life to Star Trek. 40 years of Star Trek. I know I've gone 4 minutes over my time, but I had to share that with you because it's very important that you celebrate the Star Trekkiness of the 40th anniversary. Okay, there's the music. It's time for Dr. Bill to slide on out of here. Remember, until next week, the doctor is out! Oh, by the way, remember our contest? Enter our contest by clicking on the enter contest thing, and you'll win a thumb drive. Just wanted to remind you.